You're listening to Two Tonys Present The Discovery of Witchcraft.
And the IE is in discovery, not witchcraft or Tonys or present.
Thanks, Byron.
Or the...
I'm Anthony.
And I'm Byron.
And today we are reading a book, as and we do every day.
Each week, the episode title gets longer.
And
we introduce new bits, and each time, that's the rule.
Each time we have an episode, we talk about how we do it weekly.
And then
that's not actually
true. That's not true at all.
No.
It's a... Each time, each episode which comes out, when we go, oh, we haven't released an episode for a while, the title gets longer.
Yeah.
I think by this stage, I'd like to welcome our grandchildren to our listener fan base.
Sure. Very... optimistic of you. So, who were we? We were reading a book.
We were reading a book of books.
Discovery of Witchcraft by Reginald Scott.
Yeah, the second book in
1584.
One of many books. Reggie.
Old Reggie. We just got done talking about how, if you want, you can pay a yearly pension to the Inquisitor and then they'll leave you alone.
The Witchcraft Industrial Complex.
It's okay to be a witch, if you are rich.
It's like any fine, really, isn't it? Fine is something that's just illegal, but for a fee.
Yeah. So the thing here that's interesting is that the different to what you're saying is that this isn't a fine. This is not legal.
This is just straight up extortion.
Yeah, this is not legal what these inquisitors are doing. They're taking bribes.
Yeah.
Now, I should say that taking a bribe and not killing somebody better than killing them for no reason.
Sure. But they shouldn't be doing either of those things.
No, they really shouldn't be doing either of those things. So that's where we left off. And now we're at chapter 11 of book 2. We're going to find out about an old friend of, I don't know, science. Very vaguely, very loosely.
Science wasn't well defined in those times, so I feel like that's a fair assessment.
Yeah. This guy's like a natural philosopher or whatever.
As opposed to an unnatural philosopher.
That's right. Frankenstein.
Who are we talking about?
We're talking about Cornelius Agrippa.
Oh, well, Corn Dog's back.
Corn Dog.
Hey, Corn Dog.
I don't know if we talked about Cornelius yet.
It rings a bell.
But he was featured in Frankenstein. One of the guys that Frankenstein, the character, read Cornelius Agrippa's natural philosophy books. And that's what inspired him to go and study science.
Ah. Wait, so when was... No, Frankenstein was like 18-something.
So Frankenstein's set in like the late 1700s, I think.
Yeah.
But it was written after that.
Yeah. So it's like long after this book.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Much long.
Can actually read it. The words in it are modern English. Yeah.
Oh, Frankenstein's a great read.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The opinion of Cornelius Agrippa concerning witches, of his pleading for a poor woman accused of witchcraft, and how he convinced the inquisitors.
Corny, to the rescue.
Cornelius Agrippa saith that while he was in Italy, many inquisitors in the Duchy of Milan troubled diverse most honest and noble matrons, privately wringing much money from them until their knavery was detected. Yes, so how do you feel about that, Byron? So how does that make you feel?
Again, it's more it sounds like he's like, I saw more extortion.
Yes, but their knavery was detected.
Oh, they found the extortioners.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
They being the extortioners, not the witches.
Somebody detected their knavery.
Yeah. The witches' knavery?
The extortioners' knavery.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well, okay. Remember, like, this is not a quote. Reggie's not quoting. He's saying that he's the one that's calling them knaves.
Yes.
So, yes, he's talking about the extortioners. Further, he saith that being an advocate or counselor in the Commonwealth of Maestrite in Brabant, he had sore contention with an inquisitor who threw unjust accusations, drew a poor woman of the country into his butchery, and to an unfit place, not so much to examine her as to torment her.
Yeah.
So this guy's just like, you know, doing torture for the sake of it because he's fucked in the head.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that's the only real reason. That's
the only reason that you would ever do torture.
Yeah. Whom, when Agrippa had undertaken to defend, declaring that in the things done there was no proof, no sign or token that could cause her to be tormented, the inquisitor stoutly denying it, said, "One thing there is, which is proof and matter sufficient, for her mother was in times past burned for a witch."
Again, it's back to the proof as being that your mother was a witch, so therefore you're a witch too.
Yes, and that means that I need to torture this person.
Yeah.
Because their mother was a witch.
Exactly.
Yeah, ridiculous. Okay, where are we? "Now when Agrippa replied, affirming that this article was impertinent and ought to be refused by the judge as being the deed of another, alleging to the inquisitor reasons and law for the same, he replied again that this was true because they used to sacrifice their children to the devil as soon as they were born and because they usually conceived by spirits transformed into man's shape, and thereby witchcraft was naturally engrafted into this child as a disease that cometh by inheritance."
Oh, Jesus.
So, you know, if you're a child of a witch, then by logic, you are also the child of a demon, which makes you a demon.
Yeah.
Right? You know, very straightforward.
Of course.
Like, can't...
So not only is your mother a witch, but you were conceived of the devil.
Yeah. Where is this going to go? Agrippa replying against the inquisitor's folly and superstitious blindness said, "O thou wicked priest, is this thy divinity? Dost thou use to draw poor guiltless women to the rack by these forged devices? Dost thou with such sentences judge others to be heretics, thou being a more heretic than either Faustus or Donatus? Be it as thou sayest, dost thou not frustrate the grace of God's ordinance, namely baptism?" And this goes on you know, he's going off on this guy. "Are the words in baptism spoken in vain, or shall the devil remain in the child, or in the power of the devil, being there and then consecrated to Christ Jesus in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? And if thou defend their false opinions, which affirm that spirits accompanying with women can engender, yet dottest thou more than any of them, which never believed that any of these devils, together with their stolen seed, do put part of that seed or nature into the creature."
So again, yeah, there's a lot of arguments here that it's like, she can't be, this child cannot be the devil because they were baptized.
Right.
And therefore God.
Well, so it's basically an exorcism.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like you're blessing somebody and casting the devil out of them. Like, exactly. This is like they do it explicitly in the Greek Orthodox Church. I'm having crazy deja vu. I feel like we talked about this
before. I feel we've talked about his trip to Italy, but not this specific
Yeah, piece. Maybe. Yeah.
Like, this is new to me.
In the Greek Orthodox Church, which I was baptized in, they cut a piece of hair from the baby. That's the vehicle on which the devil leaves the body.
Right.
And the godparents have to renounce Satan 3 times on behalf of the child.
Come on, devil, into the hair. Gotcha. Yeah,
basically. And when I was baptized, I was bald completely. Mm. I didn't have hair for a long time as a kid. Mm. And the priest was like, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be a problem. We have a trick. You know, you rub the baby's head and, like, you know, some, like, that's like hair comes up, like, you know, it'll be fine. And he did this. He rubbed the head and he's there rubbing my head. Apparently no hair appeared.
Yep.
And he just pretended to cut the hair. Yeah. So
if you get
exorcism failed.
Mm. If you get baptized as an adult,
yeah,
can you choose where the hair comes from? Can you be like, do the beard Here, take some pubes.
No, I don't. I
feel it'd be easier to get the devil into the pubes than.
I've not seen a outside of movies. I've not seen Greek Orthodox baptism of an adult. Mm. Yeah, but
I'll ring a Greek Orthodox church and just ask.
Yeah, just ask. Yeah, ask
I don't the, like. I'm really proud of my hair, but I want to get baptized. Can you just do the pubes instead so no one sees it?
I feel like you shouldn't bother perfectly like ordinary people with questions about your pubes, Byron. This is just...
I know, you've said that
inappropriate,
before.
Inappropriate like behavior on your part, and it has to stop.
I've heard you, mate, you said this so many times. Every other week with you, it's Byron, stop talking about your pubes.
It's not stop talking about your pubes at all. It's just two regular, ordinary people who are just minding their own business and don't know you.
Sorry, I introduced myself first.
At
and
the
then
very
we're not strangers.
Least, at the very least, okay. Byron, you should be introducing yourself first. Let's just get to that point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll worry about the rest after that. Anyway, let's get back into... the rant of Agrippa. But though indeed we be born the children of the devil and damnation, yet in baptism through grace in Christ, Satan is cast out, and we are made new creatures in the Lord, from whom none can be separated by another man's deed. The Inquisitor, being hereat offended, threatened the advocate to proceed against him as a supporter of heretics or witches. Yet, nevertheless, he ceased not to defend the Seelie woman, and through power of the law, he delivered her from the claws of the bloody monk, who, with her accusers, were condemned in a great sum of money to the charter of the Church of Mentz, and remained infamous after that time almost to all men.
Right.
All right, so that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
How much of this is like made up in Agrippa's head after the fact, do you think?
Yeah.
You know when you're having an argument and you're like, man.
I did a really good job of that argument.
Well, yes, but also like you think later, man, I should have said that.
Yeah.
How much of this is like him being like, I really laid the smack down on this guy.
And see, this I feel we have spoken about before. Because he's like, this was overseas and he's come back and he's just like making stuff up.
Yeah. And this is Agrippa, right? So this is like multiple hands. Like, so Agrippa did this. He came back, wrote about it. And then now this is Reggie reading Agrippa. He went to some college. He went to some university. I think he dropped out. I don't think he graduated.
Yeah.
But he went to some university. So presumably he like read Agrippa, one of the few people you could read. And then, yeah. So Reggie's read this and now he's quoting it, recounting it, right?
Yeah.
So there's so many like layers here.
Yeah. It's like, it's not only what Agrippa wrote about, which might have inflated his ego or inflated his deeds. But then Reggie was like, oh, yeah, he did a really good job. It's fanboying him a bit.
Yeah. He's like kind of into this guy. He's kind of into Agrippa. And we can tell that. And on the side, it says, As a note, it says, a bitter invective against a cruel inquisitor. This is in the margin.
Mm. Is this what Reggie wrote in the margin?
Yeah, I think so.
Is that like his footnote? Is he referencing like, his source?
He's like, if you want to read a bitter invective against a cruel inquisitor, it's right here.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. So
he was editing it later and he's like, oh, that was a good sentence.
Ooh.
I should make sure people... I should make sure I call attention to that.
That's right. A really great run-on sentence.
Yeah.
I just loved that run-on sentence. It was really great. I gotta remember to come back to this. But by the way, you must understand that this was but a petty inquisitor and had not so large a commission as Cumanus, Sprenger, and such other had, nor yet as the Spanish inquisitors at this day have. Just a petty
inquisitor. It was just a small fry.
Just a basic bitch.
So is he going to go back and tell us now of the big fish that he caught?
No, there's not much longer in this chapter.
Oh, that's disappointing.
For these will admit no advocates now unto the poor souls, except the tormentor or hangman may be called an advocate. So Reggie has made it clear that this kind of conversation that Agrippa had with the Inquisitor isn't allowed anymore.
Yeah.
So that's how you get around that.
Yeah.
You just say,
nope, no talking. Can't talk about anymore.
No talking.
No talking.
Yeah, just a shh.
Don't mention the baptisms.
Oh, man. You may read the sum of this Inquisition in few words set out by M. John Fox in the Acts and Monuments.
Michael J. Fox?
John Fox.
Like it, Michael J. Fox?
That's right. Yeah. So I don't know who M. John Fox is, but I assume that...
Friend of Corny's.
He wrote something.
Wrote about Corn Dog.
Well, I guess maybe we'll find out.
Mm.
We'll have to do some research.
Google check?
Yeah, something like that. For witches and heretics are among the inquisitors of like reputation, saving that the extremity is greater against witches, because though their simplicity, they may the more boldly tyrannize upon them and triumph over them. Wow, I don't understand the grammar in this at all.
There's a lack of grammar, right? It's just a huge run on sentence after sentence after sentence.
Words are happening. I think Reggie's saying witches have a bad reputation, heretics have a bad reputation, inquisitors have a bad reputation.
It's starting to sound a bit all like a straw man argument. Yeah.
What have we learned today?
I'm not sure we learned a lot.
We learned about Cornelius Agrippa.
We learned some things Reggie about loves
how
corn
he's
dog.
Like, pow pow. I'm gonna fight for the right to fly in an eggshell.
We've learned that the devil likes your hair.
We've learnt that the devil can be sent by an ordained minister to any part of your body, and then that part can be removed.
I'll call and ask about the pubes.
Don't. Please don't.